Amen. Good Sunday morning to you. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to the program, and we hope that the message is a blessing and encouragement to you week after week as we come to you by way of radio. We thank God for this opportunity the Lord's given us. And that first song was by a choir, a Fellowship Baptist Church choir from Lebanon, Ohio. We support the Fellowship Track League out of that church, and we'll play some of their songs the next few weeks, and we hope those are encouragement and blessing to you. We thank God for the old songs of Zion that can lift us up and point us in the right direction. And we're going to go to a message that was preached first Sunday of this month, and we hope that's an encouragement to you, entitled All Souls Are Mine. And we need to be thankful for what the Lord's done for us, and realize that the Lord's created us and He made us. And if we come to know Him as personal Savior, we've been bought with a price. And as the old story tells, that we illustrated in this message, we're really twice the Lord's when we come to Him and we're born again. And we hope that that's the case in your life. You have trusted Christ and you're saved. If not, you could come to know the Lord today. If you just trust Him and believe His word, you can come to be saved today. But we hope the songs and the message is encouragement to you. We want to invite you to come and be in service with us at any time. Our Bible school is at 10 o'clock, preaching at 11, and then back on Sunday night at 6. And we come pray and the Lord will meet with us in every service. And then on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we encourage you to come and be with us at Gospel Way Baptist Church, located at 3904 Tryon Courthouse Road, and that's on Highway 274 South. And we invite you to come and be in service with us at any time. And we're thankful for the opportunity to come to you, and we hope that the program's a blessing to you week after week. You can also go to our website. It's www.gospelwayonline.org, and you can go there and listen to the radio program, and you can go and find out a little bit about the church there as you search that. But we hope you have a good day in the Lord. We'll go to the next song and then to the message.
Passage of scripture, I guess just the last verse maybe is familiar to us. There's a couple different times that this is mentioned here in Ezekiel, and maybe some other phrases similar in the Old Testament particularly. in the Word of God, but the Scripture tells us here, all souls are mine. And then he says, the soul of the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, that's a principle throughout the Scripture, that we understand that the wages of sin is death. We've all come short of God's glory, and I guess we could apply it in a couple different ways. We know that if a person's lost, they're going to have a spiritual separation from God. They're not just going to have a physical death, but they're also going to have a spiritual death. They're already dead in their trespasses and sins if they don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. But and also, I believe if we don't serve the Lord as God would have us to, we get maybe in a backslidden condition against the Lord. I believe that God, one of the judgments that God has on our life, it may be for us to go to an early grave. One of the judgments, and some of the judgments are the Lord dealing with our heart and convicting us and scourging us and those type of things. So there's several different applications maybe we can look at here. But I want to kind of back up and focus on one part of this for a little bit this morning, and where the Scripture tells us here, behold, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. Now, I guess maybe this could be misinterpreted. I don't believe that this promotes or implies some type of a universal fatherhood of God and universal brotherhood of man. I believe some have taught that and some believe that. I do believe that the Lord, God may have been looking at Israel as a whole, and He could be also looking at all of mankind, that they are created by God, and if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't live and breathe. Amen. So there's a lot of applications, but I don't believe that in a universal fatherhood of man and universal brotherhood of God. In other words, everybody's not my brother and sister in the family of God. Amen. Amen. They may be brother and sister because of that we're all a part of the human race, but that doesn't mean we're all on our way to heaven. Amen. There's not many roads, there's not many avenues, there's not many different ways. You're either in or you're out. Yes. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost. Brother Herman used to put it, you're either a saint or you ain't. Amen. There's no middle ground there. There's no purgatory to go to. There's no straddling the fence, really. I mean, we've said that before. About straddling the fence and things of that nature, but I remember Brother Ed McAbee saying he ain't found no fence to straddle. You're either in or out. We're either saved or we're lost. Amen. We may have sometimes in a backslidden condition our foot out in the world and one foot in the house of God, but still that's not straddling the fence. You're just out of fellowship with God. You're not in the right relationship you need to be with the Lord. Amen. But, amen, this is extra here, but I'll just throw this in thinking about these thoughts. You know, a lot of people just get things mixed up, and I'm going to try to show you what this is talking about, and I believe we done covered it a little bit, but I don't intend to go to in any kind of a thorough examination maybe of the plight of the heathen. There is coming a judgment of the nations. There may be a couple of ways we could explain that and think about it, because there are some that's never heard. I heard one missionary say it'd be a blessing for everybody to at least hear once, you know, before they have heard twice and three times and over again, such as we have in the Bible Belt and such as we have in America. But there are places that somebody's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ once. But one thing is, there is going to be coming a, there's many judgments, not just one judgment. Somebody believes in a general judgment's wrong. There's not a general judgment that we're all going to stand before. If you're lost, you'll stand at the great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. That's after you spend a time in hell, and then you stand before God and are cast in the lake of fire. It's not to determine whether you're getting in heaven or not. No, no. Amen. There's not no coming up to St. Peter at the pearly gates. I'm just gonna blow all this out of the water first, and then we'll get to the message. There's not no coming up to St. Peter at the pearly gates and asking if your name's in there or not. Amen. If you get up there, your name's in there, praise God. And when we're up there, there's a judgment that the child of God's headed to. Amen. It's called the Bema Seat. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll stand before Him and give an account of the things that in our body, whether they be good or bad. That's two different judgments. There's other judgments. One's a judgment of the nations, the Bible speaks of. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand." That's talking about a judgment of the nations. But like I said, there's some other things that maybe we could look at and imply. I believe that there's some type of enlightenment that somebody can receive. The Bible tells us in John 1 and 9, it says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." I'll never forget the story about a missionary that said that just as soon as he began to preach Jesus unto one village, it seemed like there was several that was very receptive. And one man wanted to talk to him after the message. And of course, he talked to many people. Maybe that's the way it turned out. But anyhow, this man began to tell him that he had always believed that there was a God. And he said, "Well, how did you always believe there was a God without ever having a Bible, without ever having a preacher preach to you? How have you always believed?" He said, "Well, you see all these trees around here. You see everything that's around here." He said, there's some stuff that I've planted." And he showed him some things that he had done and things that he had planted. "And here's some other stuff that my dad planted and my grandpa." He said, "But what about all the rest of this? What about everything else we see?" He said, "I've always knew there was a God. There was somebody that put all this into existence." Amen. Amen. Some people ain't as foolish what they think, what we think they are. Amen. The fool is the one that said in his heart, "There's no God." But thanks be unto God. And like I said, praise be unto God for those that are reaching out and getting the true message of the gospel around this world. But not only that, this word souls, let's look at that for just a minute. The Bible tells us here all souls are mine. And this no doubt is talking about the entire personality of mankind. Soul sometimes has, on rare occasions, has been mentioned other things such as a spiritual nature maybe of man. But I believe it's talking about the entire personality of man. There's a few truths we'll look at in this this statement, all souls are mine. First of all, let me say that all souls have a personal relationship with God. Also, there is some type of a relationship because that God has created us. God spoke everything into existence. Not that they have a personal walk with the Lord. In our existence, though, God has created mankind. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now hold on, hang on here. We'll get to the end here. Look at what he said here. I mean, God, when Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, there was a whole bunch of folks that had a whole bunch of ideas about God. They worshiped many gods. They had many idols there. They would come and have different discourses about their God or their beliefs and things like that. And Paul took that opportunity on this particular day to talk about the true and living God. In fact, there was a statue that was set up there and there was a superscription under it and it said, "To the unknown God." Somebody said that really what Paul did was he told them about the unknown God that was unknown to them, but He was still God. Amen? That's a pretty good explanation of it, wasn't it? And He had a connection with them because He had created them. I think about the story of the little boy, and he went out and he had spent a lot of time working on a little boat. They say that he had took that boat and he had spent a lot of time just making it and putting everything together, put a little sailboat he was going to put out in the creek and watch that thing go down the creek. And one day he said he was so excited about watching his little sailboat go, and just as soon as he put it there in the water, he was excited that it didn't sink. And he was excited that it was just going downstream just exactly like it was supposed to. But the problem was that particular day, it had rained and everything not long before that, and the stream was flowing a little faster than what he anticipated. And he started trying to go down there and catch that little boat, but he wasn't able to. It had done got completely away from him, out of his grasp. He went down through the woods and down the creek and bank and never could find it that day, and went home sad that he had lost it. But one day, he was not long after that, he was walking by down Main Street, and he looked inside of this window, and there was a little boat there, a little sailboat, a little homemade sailboat. And he thought to himself, man, that looks exactly like the boat that I made. And man, he went in there and talked to that store owner, and he said, listen, that's my boat you've got up there in this window. He said, well, I take things on consignment and everything, and we just got it for sale. Somebody else brought it to me and said it was his, and it's going to be sold. He said, there ain't nothing else I can do about it. I don't know if your story's true. He said, I know that's my boat. I know that I made it. He said, well, I tell you, the only thing I can do is I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you the lowest price I can sell it to you. And he gave this boy the price and everything. He went home, got a hold of his little piggy bank, busted that thing open, and he had enough money to go back and buy that boat. And he was so excited again that he was going to have it back in his possession. He went back, put the money up on the counter, got that little boat, started walking out of the store with that little boat. And he thought to himself, he said, you know what? You're twice mine. You're mine, first of all, because I created you.
Yeah.
I put it all together. But then you got lost. And I found you and brought you back to myself. And I purchased you. And now you're mine, but you're twice mine.
Yeah.
Amen? Ain't that good? I believe that's what God's trying to say. I mean, hey, we're twice His. We were created, but if you get saved, praise God, hey, it's a whole lot better. Amen. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. You're saved now. You're on your way to heaven. But God says, I purchased you with my own blood, and I bought you. I bought you back. You just got to accept it, praise God.
Yes, amen.
Ain't that a blessing?
Praise God.
The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 17, Paul was trying to get them to understand that even though they weren't recognizing the only true God, I mean, every idol they had there, they could have busted it up. Every one of them they had, they could tear it down. Folks worship things today, and folks worship idols. And I think about those that worship old Buddha. You know, old Buddha, they say, I mean, they can't never ask nothing of Buddha. You know, just whatever happened will happen. Best results you can do, they say, is to rub his belly. And, you know, you can pray to Buddha and stuff. So somebody said there's a place there in China, it's called the House of 1,000 Buddhas. And you can find some slimmer looking Buddhas there, I reckon. You can find different Buddhas. You know, you find you a Buddha that looks like you or you really like, and that's the one you worship, and that's the one you serve. That's ridiculous, ain't it? It's the same thing going on here 2,000 years before. There on Mars Hill, all these people are looking at these different idols and everything and different things. But this one says, to the unknown God. And Paul said, well, that sounds pretty good right there. I'll preach about that. And I'll tell you, there is an unknown God. It's unknown to you, but you can be introduced to Him.
Amen.
Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, the Bible says, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own prophets have said, for we also, we are also His offspring. Notice what he's saying there. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. At the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. Just to recognize and understand that He's your Creator, that's not enough. But to recognize and understand He's your Creator, and also He's your Savior. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're on the right track there. Hey, he's saying in our existence, there is a connection that we have with God that we need not deny. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh with it, which has corrected us, and we gave them reverence, so we shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits, capital F for that Father, because it's talking about God, Father of spirits, and live. You remember we read in our text back in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth shall die. It'd be better for us to trust God and live. It'd be better for us to trust Him and have everlasting, eternal life. We have been given life by God. We have been given our breath and our very existence by God. Every breath that we breathe, whether you're saved or lost, every breath that you breathe has been given to you by God. Oh, you just think about the miracle of life. How ridiculous is it for people to understand? I seen a bumper sticker not long ago. It said, if it's not a life or something like that, I forget exactly how it went. I think it said, if it's not a life, you're not pregnant. You know, it's a life. I mean, it's not just a mass there. My goodness, within several weeks, there's a heartbeat. Weeks, what we're talking about, a heartbeat. And under God, if you see that ultrasound, see that baby there, and see the heart beating, and see you count those fingers, and you see that, man, it's just a miracle. Because some will try time and time again to have a child and not be able to have a child. Who's the giver of life? God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, and to think that some just don't recognize and don't understand that God is the one that has spoken everything into existence, and God is the one that allows every soul to be on this earth. I mean, there's a lot of things we can't understand. We can't understand how sometimes a child is born and with all the different birth defects and things, and then how that some suffer through life, and then how that some have to suffer through sickness and different things, and all these things happen. We don't understand it all. But yet, we recognize and understand that there's a God that's well able to touch and to heal. There's a God that's well able to keep His plan going and His program going, no matter what man does and no matter what the devil does, no matter what you think. He never has to ask your opinion because He's God. Thanks be unto God for that giver of life. I'm reminded of old David Ring as he testifies to the touch of God. He's born with cerebral palsy, but God called him to preach. And he'll often say when he talks about the call to preach, he said, "I don't understand it. And I don't know why God would choose me." And he'd say, "Well, don't ask me, just take it up with God." Just God's plan, God's direction for our lives. And what a blessing when we can take the bad circumstances in life and just realize that God's able to take and the old sour lemonade and make lemonade out of it. Or old sour lemon, make lemonade out of it. Amen. Only problem is Christians won't let go of that lemon. Amen. Preached several weeks ago about that being pickled and being sour. But praise be to God. We can have the joy of God in our heart. We can recognize and understand that in our existence. Not only that, but in our individuality. Maybe I've already touched on this a little bit, but the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Took us a long time to figure out a lot of things. Just even our fingerprints are individual. Nobody has. That amazes me. Nobody has the same fingerprint. Everybody's is different. There's something different about every single one of us. Amen. If you're married, you know that for sure. There's something different about your spouse, ain't they? But they say opposites attract. That's what they say. But we all have a different personality. We all have a different makeup. But yet, we all have a soul. Amen? We need to realize in our existence, God has a personal connection with us. In our individuality, God has a personal connection with us. You know, the Bible says the very hairs of our head are numbered. Don't have to count too high for some of us, but I didn't even have to say that, did I, Johnny? That's something that God knows everything about. My goodness, for some people to not even recognize there is a God. For some people not even recognize that He's the one that's the giver of life. For some not to recognize that each one of us, we have a plan. Man, I talked to somebody this past week and I said, listen, I mean, the most important thing is God has a plan for your life. God has a direction for your life. How big is that? How great is that to realize and recognize? You know, everybody else might not care. Everybody else may not be concerned, and there are people concerned, no doubt, and we have people that love us and are concerned about us and everything, but not everybody's concerned about us. Some could care less, but yet there's a God that's concerned about every one of us. There's a God that wants to individually help every one of us. Ain't that good? That's just hard for us to understand, ain't it? Amen. It's hard for us to comprehend sometimes how big God is. But let me give you another thought. Like I said, I ain't going to get through with all this, but let me give you another thought about connection. Connection that we have with God. We have a personal relationship in our existence, in our individuality, but we also have a personal relationship in our potential.